I have the privilege, and I'm telling you, I call it a privilege, to be a member here. Been a member here about 9 years, I think. And it's been a blessing. I preached my third sermon here going on almost 30 years ago. Amen. I helped in my first church revival here at Hilltop, probably about 28 years ago. And the same spirit that was here then, is here now. Amen. And I thank God for that. I've been privileged. It is a privilege. It's not a curse to be called to preach. That's what I always tell preachers, young preachers, when they begin to preach. You don't count this as a curse, because it ain't. You might have fought it for a little while, and you might not have took a hold of it, but once you take a hold of it, and you get to preaching because you love Him, that's when it's good. Amen. That's when it's good. That's when it's rich. That's when it's right. And I'm just thankful that I know the Lord. I love this church. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I couldn't open my heart up and tell you how much I love you. I thought about this when I began to study and try to find out what the Lord might have us to preach on. And even today, I thought about, I want you to know that I'd go into battle with you anywhere in this world. Did you know that? I've got that much confidence in you. You know, I'm not here very much, but I feel your prayers. And I want to thank you for that tonight. I want to thank you for praying for me. And I'd ask you to pray for me tonight. I pray if you're here and you're lost, the brother's already made mention tonight. If you're here and you're lost, if God deals with your heart right then, you begin to seek the Lord. Don't wait for me to give an altar call. Don't wait for any of these brothers to give an altar call. But when you feel God dealing with your heart, you seek the Lord right then. Amen. I can remember when I was a little boy and the Lord let me know I was lost. I sat in the back of the house the first night. The preacher began to preach and my heart started pounding out of my chest. And when he got through, I run to that altar and I began to seek the Lord. But you know where I was at the second night? I was sitting right there where Sister Tina was, and the preacher began to preach, and I couldn't stand it. I couldn't sit there no longer. God got a hold of me, and I went that night. Amen. Just like that. I didn't wait till he got through preaching. You don't have to wait till I get through preaching. And I'll tell you this, if God gives you something to do tonight, you do it. You ain't going to hinder me none. You follow the Lord. Do what God wants you to do. I want you to think about this tonight. I want you to think about how worth this, how much this is worth, what you're looking at tonight. That's what the Lord's given me to preach on tonight. The worth of this right here. The worth of Him. Now, I know a lot of times we say, and I ain't worth a plug nicker, a plug nickel, and he talks about Him being a plug. I want you to know that we ain't worth nothing as far as our eyes to see. But when I get through preaching tonight, I want you to know that you are worth something to the Lord. You got a worth about you. You are. And I want you to know that what you see here tonight is worth more than anything in this world. I want you to know that when you leave here tonight. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be reading. See, I'm so tore up, I ain't even got my glasses out. And that's all right. I'll tell you what, I've been trying this a long time. And preachers, I got news for you. You always going to be nervous. If you ever get to where you ain't nervous handling this, you need to get you a spade and start digging, son. Get you about 6 foot and then crawl in it. And then get somebody to come up there and take that dirt and throw it on top of you. Amen. Because you're done. You're done. I'm telling you, this right here, this is the word of life. It's the most important thing in this world. It's got more worth, you know. I know the queen, I hope she was saved. I hope that queen was saved. And you know, they've got a king now over there. But I got news for you. He didn't have to become king. I've had a king for a long time. Matter of fact, you know what? He was king before they ever crowned him king. He's always been the king. Ain't that amazing? I'm telling you, We talk about crowning him king. I got news for you. He's already king. He is. He's already the king. I'd ask y'all to pray for us. We're going to be reading out of the 13th chapter. Or the 12th chapter, I'm sorry, of the book of Mark. We're going to start with the 41st verse. And let me tell y'all something. This is something that's really beautiful that took place. You know, there's been preachers through the ages of time. Brother Barry, he went and seen some things about the history of the church. And this preacher that no doubt was a great preacher. But you know what? I never read in this book about him. And there's a lot of preachers. There's a lot of men of God. There's a lot of people that was never pinned down in these scriptures. But I'm going to talk a little bit about a widow woman tonight. Just right here found in this scriptures that God, it was worth so much that he would get his disciples' attention and show them what took place here. I want you to notice this. I want you to see the worth of what we have here tonight. The 41st verse of the 12th chapter of the book of Mark, if you want to read along with us. It says, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast in money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. So what that tells me is that they were going by this treasury and they were putting their money in just like we do every Sunday. They bring a plate around and we put our money in. That's what they were doing. These rich people, they were casting in much. Now, I want you to think about the worth tonight. Look what it says. It says, there came a certain poor widow. She was poor and she was a widow. So what that means is her husband had died. You know, a lot of people, did you know that pure religion undefiled before God, that it's my job and your job to take care of the widows and take care of the ones that are fatherless? The Bible teaches me that that's pure religion undefiled before God. That's my job. That's your job. That's the scriptures. You can't argue with them. You know what it says? There came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. Well, a farthing, what it's worth today, would be 1/8 of a cent. So what that means is if you took a penny and you cut it in 8 pieces and you handed it out, how much is that worth today in our minds? You know, as far as I know, you can't even buy a piece of bubble gum for a cent anymore. So this 1/8 of a cent, I wouldn't buy anything. Not one thing in this world. You couldn't buy a sock, one sock. You couldn't buy a piece of bubble gum. You couldn't buy anything with this 1/8 cent. But I want you to know that this worth here was so important that my Savior, because this word is here, he's the one that told him to pin it down, that it was so important that this woman be mentioned in these scriptures. Just notice why. It says, he called his disciples, said unto them, so this was very important. He told his disciples, he says, you come here, I want to show you something. And he says, he called him unto them, and he says, verily, that means truly, I say unto you that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. So how much was that worth tonight? How much was this worth? I've done told you that people that had money come by and they cast in, but to the Lord, I want you to know that when this woman took these mites and he threw them in there, that it was worth more to him than it was all the money that was put in there. You know why? This is why. It says this, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. What's that worth to you tonight? You know what I thought about? When I was a little boy, I was took to church every single Sunday. I didn't always want to go. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. As a little boy, we wasn't asked to go. You don't need to ask your children if they want to go to church. You need to tell them that they're going to church. I never was asked if I was going to go to church. They told me to get ready. I knew that I had to go. And you know what? At that time, it wasn't worth a whole lot to me. But boy, it is today. My mama's here tonight, and I want to thank you, Mama, for taking me to church that I could hear the truth. Because I'm going to tell you what I'm looking at tonight. It's worth more to me than anything that you could ever give me in this world. For my children, they've done been saved. For my grandchildren to be saved by God's grace, it's worth more than anything to me than anything in this world. You see, there's a lot of things people have, but they won't add up to these mites right here. They won't add up to right here. You see, I thought about it. There was a woman went to our church at New Zion. I'll never forget this as long as I live. It's actually, you know, Brother Wayne Deering. Y'all know him? It was his grandmother. Her name was Sister Green. Sister Green. Now, I want you to think about this just a minute. She had a little old blue car. It was a four-door little car. It looked like probably wasn't half run half the time, but I want you to know every time as a little boy when I went to that church, that little car, it was sitting there every single time that the doors was open. And I want you to know that's worth more to me tonight than a lot of things ever in this world. What's this worth to you tonight?
Amen.
What's it worth to you? Boy, ain't it worth something? I wouldn't take nothing. For the memories, I remember as a young preacher, I'll never forget this as long as I live. I remember we were shaking hands one day at New Zion. I come around, and that sister, you know where she sat? She sat in the A women corner every Sunday. I grabbed her little hand. I'll never forget this. I grabbed her hand, and I could see them old wrinkles in her hands. And boy, I shook her hand. And when I did, I looked at those wrinkles and I could feel the Spirit of God because I knew that she'd give her life to the Lord. She'd followed him. It was worth something to her.
Amen.
To make sure her kids and her grandkids got saved by God's grace. You see, this widow woman, she took everything she had and she cast her in there. You know why? Because it was so important that kingdom and that church was to go on throughout this day and time. You know, I thought about this when the Lord gave me this to preach on. I thought about, you know, there's a Bible speaks about, we talk about the three Hebrew children over here in the book of Daniel. And we say children, but the Bible actually talks about that they were certain Jews and they were actually important people. They were over some providence is what they were. But I want you to think about this. I want you to think about tonight. I want you to think about how much the Lord is worth to you and what are you willing to go through for him. I want you to know these three men there, Nebuchadnezzar, he had made an idol there and he put her up. And when they sung these different instruments, made these different noises, they were supposed to bow to this idol, this statue. And you know what? No doubt a lot of them did. But there was three men. And they were Jews. And they didn't. And people noticed that. I'm going to tell you what. When you stand up for the truth and you know what's right, you don't back down from what the truth is, people's going to notice you, brothers and sisters. They're going to notice you. Some of them may not like you, but they're going to notice you. You know, I'll just read to you here. Y'all pray for us. Some of these men, they said, well, these three men there, Nebuchadnezzar, he said, when you make this noise and these instruments make this sound, there's three men, their name is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and listen, they're not bowing down when you make these noises. Boy, I'm going to tell you, the scripture says that the king was mad. He was upset. He had fury about him. And he went there. And I want you to notice what took place. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. I want you to know right now, I can't see on the other side of that door. And neither can you see on the other side of that door. I don't know what's coming tomorrow. I don't know what's coming next week. But I can tell you that the word of God is true. And I know things is going to get worse. As closer we get to him coming, things is going to get worse. They did not know how God was going to react to this. They didn't know what was going to happen to them. That's why they answered this answer that they give the king. It didn't matter to them. They wasn't going to bow and worship that idol no matter what took place. Notice what it says. It says, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. What they're saying is, if it's God's will, I want you to know right now, I don't care what you do. I don't care how much fire you put in the furnace. I don't care how hot you get it. If God wants to deliver me, he will deliver me. That's what he said. Notice what he says. He says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fire and furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand. They knew without a shout, it didn't make no difference what happened. They knew when this was done and over with that God was going to deliver them out of his hand. Listen, if I'm out preaching the gospel and I'm trying to do the very best I can and somebody chops my head off, guess where I'm going to be? I'm going to be with the Lord. Amen. You can't defeat him. Listen, the only way we as God's people are going to fall if you fall with yourself. Amen. Listen, you can use that excuse that Satan made me do this. Listen, you ain't doing nothing but lying to yourself. Yeah. Satan never made you do nothing. Yeah. Never, and he won't never. He'll put it in front of you, and yes, sometimes you're going to buy it. But listen, you can't put that on him. Listen, they knew. It didn't matter. God was going to deliver them, whether they had to die or whether he took them out of that furnace. Notice what it says. You see how much it was worth them staying true to God. You know, there's a verse of scripture in the Bible. And you know what it says? It says to buy the truth and to sell it not. That's what it says. So how much worth is the truth to you tonight? Listen, when I think about, you know, there's millions of people that's going to go to church on Sunday. Did you know that? They're going to stand and they're going to fill up these church houses all over the country. And you know how many of them ain't going to hear the truth and they're going to be deceived. What is it that we've got? We've got the truth, and it's worth more than anything. Amen. It's worth dying for. That's all I know to tell you. I hope and pray that the Spirit would be with me. And I tell you one thing, if the Spirit was with me, they could cut my head off. And it wouldn't bother me a bit. I guarantee if you're in the Spirit. I know how it works. Notice what it says here. It says, be it if not be known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You remember when I started, I said that we was going to tell you about how much this is worth. I want you to know how much you're worth tonight. I want you to think about what's fixing to take place here. You see, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they said that to him, the king got angry. He got mad. He told servants, he said, I want you to come here, and I want you to make this fire hotter than it can possibly be. And the Bible says those that made it hotter, they burn up and died. You know what they done to those three men? They took and they bound them up. And I want you to know they bound them up. They couldn't move. And they put them into the fire. How much was these three men worth to the Lord? Well, I'll tell you how much. You know what took place when they went into the fire? The Bible says that king looked over and he asked a question. He said, did we not throw three men in there? And they said, yes, king. He said, well, there's four in there. He said, and one of them is likened to the Son of God. I want you to know, you see how much worth that we have? Listen, I'm telling you, when they threw them in there because they had faith in God, let me tell you, the Lord went right in there with them. And when we do something for Him and we honor Him and we stand up for Him, I don't care what happens to you, the Lord will be with you. He was with them. We hear a song, don't we? He's still in the fire. You know He is. He is still in the fire. He takes care of us every day. You know, I tell Satan, if you try to serve God, you got an enemy. He's going to mess with you. He's going to tell you everything, but ain't right. Something that ain't right, he's going to tell you. He's going to lie to you. He's going to steal from you. He's going to try to do everything that he can to you. But I got news for you. He can't touch you unless God allows it. Did you know that? Did you know that Job was untouchable? Did you know the Bible says he had a hedge about him? He even told him, he said, have you considered my servant Job? Well, no, I ain't considering. You got a hedge about him. He took that hedge down. And he only let him do what God would let him do. But he plainly told him, he said, you're not going to take his life. So ain't that good tonight? I know that without a doubt, I'm not going to take my last breath until the Lord says so. Ain't that great just to know that tonight? You know, I thought about this. I thought about over here in the book of Revelation. There's some verses of scripture. And I want you to just consider, keep thinking about the worth of what we've got right here in this church and what we've got in these churches around about our community and around about this world that teach the truth. That a little sinner come and seek the Lord till they're satisfied that they've been saved. They won't tell them, try to get them up off the altar or tell them they're all right. Listen, that's nonsense. I tell people, I tell children, we're serving a God that created the sun, the heaven, and the moons that's standing up there just as perfect as it'd be. You can't make me believe that God can't tell you when you become lost and tell you when you get saved. He did me. And He will you. I tell you, children, I want you to hear me. If you don't hear nothing else I say tonight, don't ever let no man tell you when you get saved. Amen. You wait till you hear from the Spirit of God. Amen. When God's dealing with you and you're under conviction, you'll feel pressure. You'll feel God dealing with you. Your heart will be heavy, and it won't be fixed until He fixes it all the way. Amen. And you'll know it. It'll just be like a big old heavy block sitting on you, and all at once it's gone. That's peace. You know that happened. If you put a weight on top of you, you know it's gone and there ain't no weight there. You know that. Listen, if you're lost tonight, please consider this. If you're tonight you're saved, I want you to think about this tonight. I want you to think about the worth. I want you to know, we sang a song, it'll be worth it after all. I got good news for you tonight. I ain't got there yet, but I can tell you tonight, I know for sure that it's going to be worth it after all. It will be worth it after all, my friends. Listen to what it says. I want you to think about this little town that we live in, Macon County, Lafayette. The county around about us, Trousdale County, Smith County. We have so many churches around about us that have the truth. Ain't you glad for that tonight? Ain't you thankful to God that there's truth around about us? Amen. What's it worth to you tonight? I want you to know tonight, I believe this was everything that's in me. I want you to know, for me to hear that gospel, August, I heard it first, and it went into my heart the 28th of August. I become lost coming out of the garage on the 28th of August. That night I went back to church. It was on a Sunday night. It was the 28th of August, 1983. And that gospel, it went into my heart. I'd never felt nothing like that before. I'd heard about it. Mom had always told me, son, you'll know. And sure enough, I knew when the gospel come into my heart, what's that worth to you tonight? Did you know, for me to hear that, did you know that you could take from Trousdale County, you know there's a big hill that we go up, and it goes down into a valley. Did you know the blood of men and women and children that have died for me and you to have this gospel would fill them hills and hollers up? Did y'all know it'd be overflooding, it'd be running on top? It'd be running right across us. I believe that with all my heart. Notice what the scripture says. It says this in the book of Revelations, the 12th chapter. Friends, don't be weary when Satan messes with you. You just keep a going and just keep a going and just keep a going and don't you look back. Look what it says. And I heard a loud voice saying, in heaven now has come the salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which has accused them before God, when? Day and night. He goes before him all the time. And the bad part about me is I give him a lot of ammunition. I do. But he's going to accuse you every single day. Listen, I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm going to tell you, some of us brethren, as preachers, if we live long enough, we may very well have to give our life for this cause. And I pray that the Spirit of God would be in each one of us. And we'd be willing, just like that woman that I've heard about many times. That soldier took this woman up a hill. And as they was walking up the hill, she was singing praises unto God. And this soldier looked at her. He said, don't you realize what I'm fixing to do to you? When we get to the top of this hill, I'm going to chop your head off. You know what that sister said to him? She said, yes, you are. Before my head rolls down to the bottom of the hill, I'm going to see my Jesus. Let me tell you tonight, it don't make no difference. It's worth no matter what we have to go through to make sure our babies have been saved by the grace of God. That's what they believed. Notice what it says. It says they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. And by what? Not just the blood of the Lamb, but by the word of their testimony. Listen, I've heard so many testimonies in these four walls about people being saved by God's grace, about thanking him for what he's done. I'm going to tell you, I'm telling you tonight, ain't it wonderful to be able to stand and give a testimony that you've been saved by God's grace? When they sang your song, ain't you proud that you can stand up on one of them days and say that you know that somebody touched you? Ain't you proud of that tonight? What's that worth to you? What's it worth to you? Think about that. Notice this verse. It says, and they love not their lives unto death. You know what that tells me? They give their life for the Lord. They did, didn't they? There's no telling how many people has died for me and you and for the Word. Did you know that? If you have your Bibles, I want you to read with me. And y'all pray for me.
Amen.
I'm trying to get through this as quick as I can, but I don't want to leave nothing out what the Lord has given us. If you're here and lost, and you feel God dealing with you, you don't have to wait till I get through preaching to pray. You can seek the Lord right now. I didn't even know what the preacher was saying after I went to that altar that night. It didn't really matter to me, to be honest with you. I just wanted to get saved. I just knew my heart. You, matter of fact, any of you that's been here saved here tonight, you all know about that little space of time that you can't tell me about. Tell me what you said. I don't know what I said. I know I sought the Lord and I begged him and I prayed and I sought him out, but I know I just got to a place I can't explain it to you. But I know when I come to myself, it was gone.
Amen.
So tell me what you said. So you see, if
God's dealing with you. You don't have to wait till I get done. Just come and seek the Lord right now. Pray to him. God, the hearts are knocking. I want you to get saved. That's why I'm here. We need to hear this. When we hear things like this, you know what those brothers did that went before us when they was in revival? I've heard it so many times, and I know I've had the experience of it in my life. You know what? They preached to the church the first week and got them ready for revival. And the second week, that's when the harvest come in.
Amen.
Do you know that?
Yeah.
We got to be ready for harvest.
Amen.
Listen, we got to make sure that we're ready for it. You know, a preaching brother of mine, friend of mine, he took a guy hunting one time. They went out there and they turkey hunting. When you turkey hunting, you got to be real quiet. And you know what? They went out there and they had their guns, and boy, they sat there for a long time, didn't see no turkey, and they took them a little break and went back to the truck. Went back to the truck a little while, then went back out there and got ready to go turkey hunting, and here comes some flying, and the guy that took him out there said, "Get your gun." Guess what? He didn't have it. He left it back at the truck. You see what I'm saying? We've got to be ready. We've got to be ready to gather. We've got to have something to gather in. Let's gather in the harvest. You see? We get ourselves ready. We'll have everything just right. And we'll be ready to gather it in, you see? Notice what this says. This is beautiful, y'all. If you ain't never read this, you need to read this. It's Psalms 19. We sang a song sometime. I'd rather have Jesus. Y'all remember that song? Y'all know that song? Talks about gold in there, don't it? Huh? Does it talk about honey out of combs? Does it say anything about honey? Huh? I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. Huh? Y'all remember that song? That's pretty, ain't it? You know, it's many a time I've sung that song and get where I need to be in the spirit. And I really mean it in my heart. I'd rather have him. So many times I don't get myself out of the way. I want you to notice how important this is. Notice these words. I want you to think about what God has done for us and what he's given us. And you just tell me. You just think about the worth of it. It says the law of the Lord is perfect. This is Psalms 19, the 7th verse. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Ain't that right tonight? Boy, when you heard the law of God, when you heard about the gospel, how that you needed to repent towards God and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it come in there and it hurts you. But you know what? That God done that for a purpose. It was his own goodness that he brought it to you that you might repent. Wasn't it good? Wasn't it good? You know what it talks about, the law of God? Do you know John, 1 John, talks about his commandments are not grievous. Did y'all know that's what it says? You know why that it's not grievous? You know those several laws, I forget how many hundreds of laws that they had to keep. It was just like, got to do this, got to do that. You know what Jesus told me in Matthew about the 22nd chapter? There was a lawyer that came tempting him. Said, "Good master." He said, "What's the most important? What is the biggest law that there is?" You know why it's not grievous? Because the Lord said that to love him with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, those two laws, the Bible says that he hung all the law and the prophets, all the commandments was hung on that. If I love the Lord with all my heart and I love you like I'm supposed to, it's not going to be grievous. And if you've been saved by God's grace, there's something on the inside of you that makes you want to do that. There is. There is. So listen to what it says. It says that the testimony of the Lord is sure. I want you to know how many times you stood up in the spirit, get a hold of you, and that jaw just a trembling, and you don't even know what you're going to say. If you get up there and you say it and you speak it, and boy, it just comes out just as pretty as it can be because it comes from the Lord. If I tell you that if you'll come up here and you'll seek the Lord and you'll surrender him and you'll call upon him with all your heart, I know that you'll get saved. Listen, that's a testimony I can say to you, and I'm sure of that tonight. You know how? because it happened to me. That's what a testimony is. It's a truth saying of something that you have had happen to you. Is it not true tonight? Notice what it says. Look at the worth, y'all. It says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. They are, boy, everything's right about the Lord, ain't it? Amen. Notice what it says. It says, the commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. You know, the Bible tells me that the first thing any person ought to do, it's the beginning of knowledge, is to fear God. I've thought about this many a times. You know, when I was a boy, you know, I was afraid of my daddy, what he'd do to me if I got out of line. But there ain't one time ever in this life that I walked by him that I was trying to do half right, that he took his hand, I had to worry about him slapping me. That's what fear is. It's to reverence God and who he is. To reverence him. To honor him. Know what he can do. He loves you. He loves you. Amen. Notice what it says. It says, for the Lord are true and righteousness altogether. Now look at this 10th verse. This world tied up in a bow knot. More to be desired. You can take that word and you can look that up. And I guarantee you there's going to be some meaning. It means worth. Listen to what it says. More to be desired are they, what's that song? I'd rather have Jesus than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. You know that song about the honey? He's sweeter than honey out of a comb. What does it say? Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Listen, that song, when they got that song, you know where our songs come from? They come straight from the Word of God. Did you know that? You can find in here that when it talks about us laying down to sleep, we can pray that every single night that, Lord, just lay me down to sleep and keep me at peace tonight. Amen. Did you know that? It's there. It's in the Word of God. Ain't that amazing? What is he worth to you tonight? How much worth is he to you tonight? And I said, we've done seen that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We've seen what they're worth. Did you know what the Lord was worth to Judas? Anybody know? 30 pieces of silver. That's what he sold him out for. But did you know while this was going on? While all this was going on, you see, they had the Passover. And during that Passover, you'll find that the Lord told Judas, just go ahead and do what you got to do. What he said. And he left there. But you know what took place after that? I want you to know what you're worth to the Lord tonight. I want you to know tonight when you leave out those doors, there's something that's worth. You're worth to the Lord tonight. You know the Morrison sisters, they sang a song, the only thing that he ever bought. You know what that was? He didn't buy a house. The Bible says that the foxes, they have their places and the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man have not a place to lay his head. He didn't buy a house while he was here upon this earth. But you know what he did buy? He bought what I'm looking at right here. The church of the living God. And all this was going on, this silver being traded hands with Judas. You know, the Lord knew it was pretty close to time. The Bible says, and I want you to get this. We'll turn over and look at it. I believe it's in the... Just a minute. Let me find it. Over here in Mount Mark. I believe it's about the 14th chapter. About the 32nd verse. Now, I want you to just think about this a minute. The Lord, Judas, one of the 12, an apostle that he had chosen,
He knew who he was. He knew all about him. He knew he was the one. They didn't, but he did. You know how I know that? Because when they were sitting at the table, he told them, he said, one of you is going to betray me. You know what they started saying? Every one of them said, is it I? Is it I? They didn't know it was Judas. But he did. He knew. Because you know why? He knows everything. Ain't that amazing? But you know what? While this was going on, the Bible says this. I want you to see what you are worth to the Lord tonight. And they came to a place which was called Gethsemane. And he said to the disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And then he taketh with him. Now, this is the way I picture this. And I tell you, this will help you. When you're reading the word, go there. Go there. Like you're looking at it. Like you're there with him. Just go there. But what happened was they were set there, and then he took three of them, Peter, John, and James. And they went a little bit further. But they couldn't go all the way. But they did go a little bit further. I want you to notice this. What it says. It says, and he taketh him, Peter, and James, and John. And the Bible says that he began to be sore amazed. And what that word is, if you look that up in that particular verse there in the book of Greek, in Greek it means to be affright. Listen, I want you to know tonight that when he went to death, he went as a man. Y'all hear me? A man. A man died on the cross for me. A man. Notice what it says. Look what it says. It says this. He said he began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here. You stay right here, Peter, John, and James, and you watch. And the Bible says he went forward a little and he fell on the ground. And he prayed that if it were possible, that the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all these things, our fathers, what he said, all these things are possible unto thee. Notice what he said first. Take away this cup from me. He was hurting, y'all. I mean, he was hurting. He was heavy. There was sorrow there. He was carrying a load. Not just the load of going to that cross and dying, but listen, he began to carry the load of sin upon his flesh, and he went in there. I want you to see what you're worth to him tonight. I want you to know when I leave out here tonight out of these church doors, I'm telling you I'm worth something to the Lord tonight. I may not be worth much to this world, but I am worth something to him.
Amen.
I am. Don't ever think that you ain't worth something. Because you are. And I want you to look. Look what it says. It says, and when he says, he told him, he said, Abba, Father, nevertheless not what I will, but thou wilt.
Amen.
Boy, he surrendered right there. Did he not? Listen, you know what I believe when he was in there? He began to think about me and you and how that we'd be doomed. If he didn't go all the way. Have y'all ever thought about that? You know, notice this. And I want you to think about this tonight. I want you to pray for me. I'm asking y'all to pray for me. There's times that I sleep that I don't need to be sleeping. Y'all understand what I'm saying? This is very important here tonight. These children that we see here tonight, God has blessed us with children. I go to churches. I preached in revival this year that there wasn't but two or three children. Listen, we are blessed with children. It's worth whatever that I might have to go through for them to be saved by God's grace. And it's worth whatever you might have to go through. Think about that. Think about how worth that you are to him. Notice what it says. And it says he got there where they were at. You know what they were doing? They were asleep.
He asked him, he said, could you not watch for an hour, I believe is what he said. He woke him up and he went back in there and he prayed again. And the Bible says he said basically the same thing. He was trying to get it right with God. He was trying to get where he needed to be. You see? He went out again, and guess what? He was asleep again. The Bible says something different. I want you to notice this. And I want you to just think about this a minute. And I want you to just think about God. And I want you to think about Jesus and how much he loves you tonight.
Amen.
And it says in the 40th verse, he said, when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him, because they ain't no answer. When he catches me to sleep, I don't have no answer to give him. Lord, I'm just asleep. I know I don't need to be asleep. I know I need to be awake. I need to be working. The Bible says the Lord said, work while it day, for the night cometh where no man can work. Listen, we're getting close. I believe that. Notice what it says. It says, he cometh the third time. Notice what he says here. He saith unto them, sleep on now. Sleep on now. All right. It says, now, would it make a whole lot of sense for me if I come in here and Brother Barry and Brother Jeff and y'all, this front row was asleep and I told you to sleep on? And then the very next verse of Scripture, he says, arise. Does that make a lot of sense to y'all? It don't, does it? But let me tell you, between those two verses, there's something happened. If you got your Bibles, turn to the 17th chapter of John. I want you to, we hear about Matthew, the 6th chapter, being the Lord's Prayer. Matthew, the 6th chapter, is a model prayer for me and you. The Lord's Prayer, listen to me, church, is in the 17th chapter of the book of John. And in that chapter, you know what he done? Every one of us in here tonight, the Lord and Savior that died on the cross that night on August the 30th, 1983, somewhere around about 10:30, the Lord saved me. I want you to know that in this place where he was at when he prayed this prayer, he prayed for me. And he prayed for you. You think you ain't worth something? I want you to listen to what he said. Listen to this 12th verse, y'all. It says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Listen to this, brothers and sisters. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. Boy, ain't you glad of that tonight? You know, I got saved about 39 years ago, and many a times I've treated her rough. But I want you to know, when them kids got up here and sung a while ago, I was sitting back here in this seat, you know what? I felt the Spirit of the Lord. He let me know that I'm His. I still got Him. You know what? He ain't lost me, and He never will.
Amen.
Now, do you think I'm worth something to Him? Do you think you're worth something to Him? You are. He's kept you all along. I don't know all the things that you've done. I don't want you to know all the things I've done. There's a lot of things I ain't proud of. I got news for you. I got news for you. I'm not proud of them. But you know what? He knows every single one of them. Every single one of them. And he still kept me. You know why? Because I'm worth something to him. You know why? Because I'm his. Ain't that wonderful tonight? What's he worth to you? Do you know, as he went on, he prayed. Look what it says. It says, sanctify them, in the 17th verse. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone. Here's where he prayed for me and you. But for them also which shall believe on me.
Amen.
Through their word.
Amen.
I'm one of them. I believed on the word of God. I did. I believed the preached word was the truth.
I believe the testimonies of the brothers and sisters that went before me. I believe they were telling me the truth, and I knew that when the gospel of the Lord got a hold of me, I knew God was real. If God is dealing with you tonight, please come and seek the Lord. Seek Him with your heart. If God's a knocking in there and you feel that knocking, that's Him saying, come unto me and I will give you rest. Amen. Listen, He wants to save you tonight. Listen, you've heard about Him, how good He was last night. He preached Jesus here last night. I'm telling you how much you're worth tonight and how much He's worth. Won't you come and seek the Lord?
Amen.
Seek the Lord. Think about it tonight. Do you know the Bible says in the 16th chapter, the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew, He talks about a treasure.
Amen.
Listen, that night when I got saved, I found a treasure. Do you know that? You know what it says in that 6th chapter? I'm going to read to you and I'll be done. Let's get ready to get us a song. And I just pray that everybody knows what they're worth tonight and what He's worth and what this church is worth. He says in the 19th verse, He says, lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, and where themselves they do not break through nor steal. Notice this verse of Scripture. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I promise you, if you make this place right here your treasure, your heart will be here. And you're going to want to work for the Lord. You're going to want to see people get saved. You're going to want to do what's right. There ain't a day, a morning that I don't get up that I don't want to do what's right. Now, I make mistakes, but I want to. There's something on the inside of me that's worth something to Him. Listen, I'm telling you, I was up a Bowling Green several years ago and I was down there praying, and the God of the universe and the God that made the moon and the stars that saved me that night, just all at once I was having things. I was trying to get where I need to be with the Lord, and all at once He spoke to me, and you know what He told me? He said, you're mine. Boy, and I got happy. And then just immediately, there was fear come all on me. Think about that a minute. Reference Him. He let me know that I was His.
Amen.
If you've been saved by God's grace tonight, I want you to know that you are the Lord's and you're worth something to Him.
Amen.
You are. And I want you to just think about how much is this worth for you to carry on, that your children and your grandchildren and their children would have the same opportunity.
Amen.
As me and you. Let's have a song. Everybody follow the Lord. I'm thankful that you paid attention.
Amen.
I hope this has helped you. This is what the Lord has given us. And I pray you'll take it and you'll use it for His honor and glory and praise. And I pray tonight, if you're lost, I learned a long time ago, it don't matter if you preach to the church or you preach to the lost. As long as you preach what God wants you to preach, He can work upon the lost.
Amen.
I know He can. So I pray tonight, if you're here and lost and God's dealing with your heart and that heart's a pounding, I just pray that you'd come and seek the Lord.
Amen.
Pray till you know that you've been saved.
Amen.
Pray till you know that you've been saved. While we stand together and sing.